Would you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15? Romans chapter 15. I want to just conclude our morning with a few thoughts about these three ideas: joy, peace, and hope. Those of you who have been with me in ministry for a few years probably understand this. Maybe you remember me saying this from time to time around the holidays, or maybe even years past, you remember something I've said along these lines. But I tend to be a little bit of a critic on Christmas music, and I tend to be a little skeptical when I hear some of the Christmas music of our day, and so people have asked me this Christmas, so which Christmas song are you going to tear apart this year? And I'm so sorry that I have to do this on a regular occasion for you, but I actually didn't pick a new song this year. I couldn't find one particularly that that really fit my text. I think it would have been wrong for me to pick a song and then do a message on the song, right? So I needed something that would fit the text and really support where I'm headed with the text this morning. And so I went a little old school, and I've mentioned it before. It was part of my life again this Christmas season, because in our Christmas staff party, we did holiday karaoke, and I was selected to lip sync this particular song that I'm going to mention. So it's on my mind this Christmas. But if you remember, I have said it before, but there's a song that we hear regularly around this time of year, and it's called The Grown-Up Christmas List. And I know those of you who just love this song, it's nice. It really is nice, okay? It sounds nice, and for about 30 seconds, it makes me feel good after I hear it. But if you don't know the song, these are the words. It says, "Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now and still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list, not for myself, but for a world in need." You're like, what in the world is wrong with that? Just hear me out. This is the grown-up Christmas list. No more lives torn apart. Wars would never start. Time would heal all hearts. Everyone would have a friend. You can join in if you want. I know some of you are dying to. And right would always win. And love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. Now, as I was sitting here listening to the music this morning, when you sing Joy to the World, this song makes sense, because in the second coming, this is possible. But where I have the issue is in the world in which I live, day in, day out, Christmas after Christmas, this is not a possibility until Jesus comes back. Would I love for the wars to cease? Yes. Are they going to? No. Would I love for all the wrongs to be made right? Who wouldn't? It's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. Do I want everyone who's lonely this Christmas to have companionship and friendship? Absolutely. Is that a reality? No. So I need something more this Christmas. Like, this does not cut it for me, especially this Christmas. This is not enough. This will not sustain me over the next couple weeks. I must have something a little stronger to feed my soul for me to be able to walk as Jesus wants me to walk this Christmas. Because of all the brokenness that is everywhere in my life, around my life, in the world in which I live. I think if we're honest and if we're true believers, we understand we need something more. because the emotions that come with this time of year and when you hear songs like this and you watch really sappy, cheesy Christmas movies, as we did last night, I think biggest waste of time I've ever spent. All the men are clapping, at least in their heart. I have to have something more for me personally. And because I realize we're all made up of the same stuff, I think you do as well. And so Romans 15, verse 13, is my grown-up Christmas wish. In verse 13, the scripture says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." For me, this is what my soul needs. More than the emotions, more than the relationships, more than anything that this world, this earthbound life can kind of conjure up emotionally, my soul needs truth. And so this is the wish that I am praying for you this Christmas, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ at Calvary Baptist Church, that the God of hope would fill your heart. And he would fill it with joy and peace. And you would abound in joy this Christmas. Just looking at the three ideas here, the ones that we've been focusing on this morning. What is joy? Well, the biblical idea of joy is a feeling of good pleasure and happiness, but listen, please, that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who we are or what is happening around us. So joy this Christmas, as Paul writes here, may the God of hope fill your life with joy. What is that? It's sourced in a person. It's a sense of pleasure and happiness that is found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ, not our circumstances. There is no way those victims in Kentucky and Tennessee, those folks who have experienced horrible devastation, there is no way that they can just tell their hearts to be happy and at work. And no matter what you're currently going through, those multiple families who lost loved ones this year, and so this Christmas, there is a major void in your heart. Telling your heart to be happy will not work. But running to the God who could supply joy, now that can happen. Joy that is not based on our circumstances. A feeling that is based in a person. The person of Jesus Christ. From his birth to his death, he brought joy. Listen to Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. But the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people." In the person of Jesus Christ comes the good news of joy. From the moment he entered our realm to the moment he left, he brings good news of joy. Joy that comes in knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we have the gift of salvation, that our Savior accomplished what he said he would do. Before he left, in John chapter 15 and verse 11, He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, perfect joy," Jesus said, "that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." You know, it is possible this Christmas to look past the circumstances, all of the hardship that you're currently facing, whether it be in relationships, whether it be financially, whether it be physically, whether it be in loss. It is possible for you to experience true joy because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is found in Him. He is our joy. The second thing that Paul asks for here is that not only would their hearts be full of joy, but they would also be full of peace. And as Pastor Robert prayed, we understand that the peace is what we need, but it can only come from our glorious God. He is the Prince of Peace. What is the biblical idea of peace? It's not the absence of conflict. So those of you who are hoping that this Christmas you're going to have a conflict-free experience, it's not going to happen. Those of you who your children, you know, maybe finished up school sometime in the last week, by Tuesday, you're going to understand this. You're going to want to send them back to school because the conflict will be real in your home. Christmas Eve, as perfect as you want it to be, can you start preparing your heart that there may be some sin in the family? And when there's sin in the family, there tends to be a little bit of conflict. So the peace that we long for and want so bad, the absence of conflict, it's not going to happen. Those of you who have children in the school system, you understand that even this last week, I didn't grow up in a world that had to worry about violence in our schools. But if you have a child in the school system today, you understand that because of a TikTok video, a threat and an encouragement for students across this nation to take weapons to school, whether there was an actual threat or not, not sure. But what it did, it sent ripples across this country to where Friday morning I got a phone call from the superintendent of public schools here in Greenville saying, "Hey, your child has school today because we have understood that there was a potential threat, but we have evaluated it and it's going to be okay. So school is on." That was not the world I grew up in. That's the world that our kids are growing up in. Peace on earth? Really? It's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. He is the Prince of Peace. But what He brought when He came to this world was an opportunity for the biblical idea of peace to be a reality. And this is what the biblical idea of peace is. It's not the absence of conflict. It's taking action to restore a broken situation. It's really that idea of a state of wholeness or completeness. And when Jesus came to this earth and He lived the life that we could not live, and He went to the cross and He assumed upon Himself, He took upon Himself the sins of the world, He made everything right. And if we, as God's children, His creation, if we will turn from our sin, from ourselves, and look to the Messiah, the one that was waited for so long, if we will look to the Messiah, we can have peace in our hearts. We can have that brokenness restored. We can be right with our Creator. We can be whole again. And if you are His child this morning, this Christmas, the peace of God can rule your heart in the midst of conflict. See, it's not about the absence of conflict. It's about living within the conflict, knowing that you are okay. If you follow the story about the 17 missionaries that were taken captive in Haiti over the last several months, you understand that this last week they were finally, the rest of them were finally released. I think the 12 that were left were released. In our modern day world, 17 people can be kidnapped, held ransom, for not only days, but weeks and months. People who are in another country working for gospel purposes, held captive. What sustains a heart in those moments? It's not the absence of conflict, because they lived it moment by moment. It's the idea that everything ultimately is okay because of Jesus. So in the midst of the war, in the midst of the conflict, the peace of God rules our hearts and our minds. So when Paul says that our hearts would be full of joy, it's in the roughest of circumstances. And it could be in the hardest of conflict. We can still know that everything is ultimately okay. So we don't have to rely on some cheesy Christmas song to make us happy. Or we don't have to rely on some expectation that comes in the next few days in our hearts where we want our families to look perfect and be perfect and everyone have a wonderful time. And then the reality hits and you come off the holiday very, very discouraged. It doesn't have to be that way. If this grown-up Christmas list is what we pursue. Joy, not because of our circumstance, because of a person, because of our Messiah. Peace, not because there's an absence of conflict, but because we are complete in Him. And we are whole. And He has brought restoration to our brokenness. He provides peace with God, peace within the conflict, and peace that can rule our hearts. Listen to this text, Colossians 3:15, and apply it to your life this week. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart this week. And the third idea that we've talked about and sung about is the idea of hope. And back in our text, now may the God of hope, that's who He is. He has revealed to us that He is the God of hope. And the biblical idea of hope is that assurance of things that we cannot see, that conviction according to Hebrews 11:1. It is the idea that we don't just wish something to happen or we have this great desire, but it is a confident expectation because God has promised it. So when we set our hope on things that are earthbound, so kids this week, I know those presents under the tree, they're calling your name and they look great and maybe you know what's in them already, maybe you don't, and you can't wait till Christmas Day. Enjoy those good gifts. But set your hope on Jesus. He is the only one who will fill all the holes in your life as you grow up. And every person who is here and knows Jesus Christ and is walking with Jesus, they would say yes to you for that. Because many of us have tried to find happiness and fill those holes with all the things that this world has to offer. And we always come up short. We always come up dry. Because the only thing that satisfies is the living water of Jesus. And so this Christmas, He is our hope. He is our hope that he will come back and he will make all the wrongs right. And there will be peace on earth. And so we wait. We understand it's not going to happen until that point. But we know that day is coming. And so the God of hope, how he has revealed himself, the God of hope can fill our hearts with joy, with peace, and with great hope. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And so this week, it is absolutely possible, whether we all choose to rely on the Spirit's power or not, that's to be determined. But the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of us so that we actually can walk this Christmas season according to what is defined in the Scriptures as the approach. And many of us will still go down that road. You'll try to find that Christmas movie that'll just hit the spot, or you'll just, you know, this or that. And you'll set all your expectations for family moments. But can I challenge us to go beyond that? Enjoy every minute that God provides. And enjoy every gift that comes in the form of a relationship or a toy or some sort of experience. Enjoy them as God's good gift. But go beyond them and see that he actually is there to fill your heart with what can sustain you. When the expectations aren't met, when the conflict is still there, and the future is very uncertain from an earthbound perspective. The God of hope, he can fill your heart with joy, with peace, and with great hope of a future. Would you bow with me as we take a moment of reflection? I'm going to ask all followers of Christ this morning to make a commitment. Would you commit to the Lord this morning that you are going to strive over the next 7 days by the Spirit's power to be full of joy? You're going to let the peace of Christ rule your heart. And you are going to rely on the ultimate hope that you have in Christ. As we celebrate Jesus and have all of the wonderful moments, hopefully, what God will see in us, I believe, is this right here. This is his will, that the God of hope would fill our hearts with joy and peace, and we would abound in hope. Would you make a commitment just to strive, not in your own doing, but based on the power of the Holy Spirit, that this is what you want to be characterized as this week? Jesus, our Messiah, please control our hearts and minds by your Spirit this week. Your grace is available. Would you motivate us by your Spirit to rely on your grace, to choose joy in the midst of hard circumstances, to let the peace that only you bring, the peace of Christ, rule our hearts and our minds. And God, when things don't go the way that we plan, expect, and desire them, God, would you fill us with hope, because ultimately, your promises are true. God, we need more than emotion this Christmas. We need truth to control our hearts. So by your grace, would you accomplish this in the days this week, the days of Christmas. In your holy and precious name I pray.